the Lord.
Yes. Well, I'm excited today. I've planned, I've prepared, and I know Brother Schmitty is prepared for communion. And even before I get started, I guess many of y'all would know, but for those of y'all who don't, when I started with Pastor Rocky, it's kind of funny because my upbringing in church, I'm grateful for my upbringing, but some of the things that stand out to me, honestly, and it's a sad thing, honestly, and it's sad on the church's behalf, because this is a house of prayer, and it's a house of worship, and it's a house of giving. But I can remember the conversations as a young child when I would see people of the church get together, and of course, they were fussing about the pastor, and there would be disagreements about the money. And that really stood out to me in my upbringing. So as I got a little older, and my dad really could honestly no longer force me to go to church. I guess he could have. I got away from the Lord. And so it was back in, I guess, my early 30s when Pastor Rocky started his... that Sunday. And just based on a friendship, walked out the door. I didn't know God. I certainly knew nothing about this. And as we're going to his word today, that's the true riches, front to cover. Amen. You know this, there's no money that can provide what this gives us. So anyway, after we walked out the door and didn't intend to stay, and honestly, going back to my background, I wanted nothing to do with money other than spending it. I was brought up in the world where you went to work, and you earned, you spent, and you saved a little at the end. And certainly, that's not God's design for money. God's design is we earn and then we give, and then we save and then we spend. Completely opposite of what the world is taught. So, as I started going to church, and Darlene would testify to this, we did not intend on staying. Me and Rocky had a friendship. And many of y'all have been through that church breakup. That's life. That's relationships. You're going to get hurt. And God prepares us for that. That's what he come for. And even the most probably in the book of 1 Timothy, I think it's 6:10, where people talk about, money is the root of all evil. That's the most misquoted scripture probably in the Bible. It's the love of money. But I would only say that, but sin is the root of all evil. It's not the money. It's the sin nature in our hearts. So Pastor Rocky, as we continued to go, he would ask a few people to count the money. And the last thing I wanted to do was spend an extra 2 minutes at the church. That wasn't on the agenda. So I ungratefully did it. And that's just being honest. God knows my heart. I did not want no part of the money just because of the upbringing. So that would continue to go on a week. I had Brother Juan and we've had so many people involved with that. I can't name all the names. Ralph Mason, we've had Mr. Torres, Gloria's help, my wife has helped, my son is involved with it, Brother Mark. There's too many people to list that have been involved with it. But we started, I guess that's been, 28 years ago, Juan? And we're still doing the least of things, and that's okay. It was temporary, yes. So, that is a testimony of what God, he will, don't tell him what you're not going to do, because I can tell you, and I will tell you this, and God really put this on my heart, this money here, there is not a dollar that comes into this church that's not prayed over. And I want to encourage you before it gets to that point, what God gives you, pray over it before you bring it here. And that should never be taken for granted, because God multiplies. He takes a few fish and a loaf of bread, man, and he feeds thousands. He can take a little flour and oil and provide an income. So God doesn't need much. But he wants it with a pure heart this morning. So, but that is one thing I will tell you, every dollar that has ever come in that upstairs, Juan will testify, we pray over it. And we ask God to give the increase, because we want to see God's kingdom built. That's what he put us here for. The biggest purpose for us being here is for one, to learn his word, to grow more like him. But man, just as Sister Michelle said, we're to share the gospel. And everybody has a unique way of doing it. I can't do it your way and you can't do it mine. But part of us, the ministry is given. And I don't have to tell y'all, if you've been in church any length of time, that money is, it can be a very touchy subject for people in the church. And do I tithe? Is it off the gross or is it off the net? What do I give? And I'll just say this. God doesn't need our money. He's provided everything we need. And first he wants us to receive him as Lord and Savior. And then he wants to seek him and follow him. He's not asking us to do a lot. And I can tell you what I've discovered for me over time. Every morning I have my quiet time. Psalm 46:10. Before business is prayer and worship. And I can tell you, no matter what business you have in your life, it will go much smoother. And God's grace will give you something that day that you're not going to get when you put everything else first. And that's not a put down, but it had, for me, before I walk out that door, I commit every day. I got pictures of my family into his hands. I commit the day. I commit my resources. I commit my time. I ask him for strength and grace to get through the day. And even, I don't consider myself old, but I'll be 64 this year. My job is physically demanding. And I laugh about it because God has blessed me with a good physical health for my age. But it's all from him. It has nothing to do with me. I can eat properly. I can go to the gym. It's God's grace on my life that has allowed me to continue to do what I do. But I don't even look at it as a job, honestly. It's a ministry. And, I get to meet younger people. I get to work with them and share the good news. I get to deal with the older people who I get wisdom from. But I can tell you, the young people, man, they have a hunger for God. They know they're missing something. And I enjoy, it's becoming friends with them. And it doesn't, they may look completely different, think and talk completely different. But man, once you get to know them and establish that relationship, there's a friendship there. And that's how the same reason I'm sitting here in church today is because of a friendship with Rocky. It wasn't for any other reason. And it wasn't because he was going to church and all that stuff. It's just because we were friends. And so, like I say, we all know that that money can be a certainly... money has just been a big factor in churches. It's the reason a lot of churches have fallen apart, broken apart. And I look at being just a good steward overall with my time, with my love and my resources. And when I start my day, the reason I say time is so important, giving God first, because when you spend time with God in the Word, he is going to speak to you. He is going to change you. He is going to fill your heart. He's going to lead you in the right direction. So ultimately, when we spend time with him, we're going to love him more. He provides something for me that my wife can't provide, that no one else can provide. So it's so important. So out of my time with him every morning, and most mornings it's roughly 30 minutes, out of that time, then the love grows. And then you want to share your resources. So, and our resources are just not money. It's, it's whether it's a meal or giving somebody a ride or babysitting for your neighbor. It's doing the things, giving is the easiest part of coming to church, honestly. It's the sacrifice of your time that can be the hardest thing with the Lord. So, money. It's funny, the movie Jerry Maguire, I don't know if y'all familiar with that, Tom Cruise and the football player, he says, show me the money. Well, God showed us how much he loves us. And I do think about the money that when my upbringing with that would be, like I said, would be to spend before the give. But I recognize that as I started to walk with the Lord, I can remember, and I've shared this before, but just for people who don't know my background, tithing, I know people get caught up in that. And I'm going to be honest. It is Old Testament, but tithing started before the law. It started with Abraham. But when I decided to truly start giving to the Lord, and it's not a right or wrong. Some people can give more, some people can give less. So God wants to get us to give our motives to be pure at heart. So I can remember going to the ATM machine on a Sunday morning, and I can just remember getting money out of the ATM, and God just gently, God doesn't condemn us, but I just sense the Lord's leading this. That the best you can do. And it wasn't in a condemning way. And I had refinanced my house at that time, and I had shared that before a long time ago, and I'd put a lot of pressure on myself, but I thought it was the voice of God. And so, Darlene, at that point, man, she was making marginal money. We started giving to Israel, and Darlene's simple job, she becomes the commissioner, Prince George County. God has given us, oh man, I mean, he has blessed us far beyond what we deserve. And it's all from his hand. I would never put a penny in that offering, wanting something, because God's love is not transactional. I can't tithe my way for favor. He doesn't want that. He wants my heart and my love, and he wants me to serve him with all my heart. I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget this. A couple items here. God, money is important, and it does take money. People say, well, God doesn't need your money. It's true, but it takes money to pay our pastor and for the building and the lights. And I will say this with our pastor. I believe, because I think I got this correct, because I asked him a couple weeks ago. Back in 03, when we come in the building, it was several, a union hall and several high schools. And the time I known Rocky, I've seen, now he will mention missionaries. And if you documented how many times he's forgot the offering plates, you'd probably be shocked even about giving. But the first year we come into this building, and it was going into the fall, he asked for a special offering one time since I've been a part of this church, and it was to pay this building off. And we have been debt free ever since, funding missionaries around the world, and not against debt, not against, you know, because buying a house, there's good debt, but I can tell you, too much debt is not a friend. So, but I just give our pastor and Kim under God's headship of being a good financial stewards with the money, and God has blessed because we've been able to give the money away that we could have had tied to buildings and all them things. Now, I'm not against that, but I do want to say this in the time that I've been a part of the ministry, because Darlene and I have given to some big ministries, but one thing I will say about money, that if a church's focus is the money and not teaching us and training us to be better disciples and not saving people, you're in the wrong church. Because first and foremost, he wants us to save people. And money doesn't save people. It's his heart and his word. It's the good news of what he's done for us that saves people. So we always need to be mindful of that. But I made it a point to write this down because of the things that come to me. I'm not a good writer. I wouldn't even call myself a good speaker. But I would say this, being 64 this year, of all the things that I've learned about, first and foremost, the Lord and Savior is irreplaceable. But the second thing that I've learned in my lifetime that I could share with anybody, whether they're young or old, is this right here. I would say of all the things that I learned in school, knowing how to manage our money, our resources, knowing how to give, save, and spend is as important as any subject I've ever learned, because our kids are not taught this in school. They're not taught how to handle money and the resources they get. And one of the number one causes for divorce in our nation is money. So money is a powerful force, and the enemy knows that. The enemy knows, and I can tell you, when we give with a pure heart, whether you like it or not, God is gonna bless you. That's just who he is. You know, so we need to be mindful of that. We don't do it for that reason, but God is gonna bless when you give. And so managing God's resources. I did wanna open up wisely as Pastor Rocky's devotional day 20. And when he actually asked me, did I have anything to speak on at that point, I really didn't. So this actually really goes well. So I don't even know, maybe this is your first time here. What is your view on money? But I did want to open up just with the first, in the first paragraph. And it's true that Jesus talked in the 36 parables, 17 of them were about property and stewardship. But Pastor Rocky's devotion was the first paragraph. He said, Jesus talked about money in most of the parables or stories he taught. Why? Money is an indicator of our heart, our priorities, and our trust in God. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon means money or possessions. We can give our love, loyalty, and service to God and to money. Ed Cole said, money makes a good servant, but a poor master. You know, God, we can give money in the offering, but we can't love without giving. Because we're designed, God said we're created in his image. And God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So we're designed to give. And the enemy knows that. And he wants to hinder us. And when we are in too much debt, and I can speak for myself, there's been times in my life before Christ I made bad choices, and after I've known Christ I've made bad choices. But our God does restore, and when we commit God and honor him with our resources, God will help us. Yes, he will. Thought about the love of money. Our prison system is filled with people who have lied, cheated, stolen, embezzled. There's people who have murdered for the power of money. So money is a powerful, powerful force. So to sit there and say that it's not, it is. Greed, you know, it's amazing what greed can do. People have lost jobs, great careers, because they've stolen. You know, isn't it amazing when God says, I'll richly give you all things. So, you know, when we seek him first, I'm going to share a scripture here just in a minute, but when we seek him first, he's going to be our provider. He said, seek him first, and he's going to provide what we need, but he wants us to do it, and seeking him first means, and I'll be honest, for me personally, how I learned about money through sermons and Pastor Rocky and reading and this is, I think a lot of people, when it comes to money, just because of the I guess the stereotype behind us, churches just want your money. Even in Pastor Rocky and I, the last time we were in New York, that's the first thing that the Uber driver brought up was the money that the pastors and the church wants. But it does take money for the ministry to be effective and to send missionaries and to feed the homeless. It does take money. So money, God's money is important to the kingdom. Our money is important. So it's important what we do with it. So now for me personally, I've even in talk, as I tried to really talk to some people over the past few weeks, just on my job and, you know, whether they go to church or they don't. But I can tell you, Christians do compartmentalize money. When it comes to money, they will say, I earned it, I saved it, you know, I deserve this. It's all God's. It all come from his hand and it all belongs to him. So that's where we get away from, you know, and it's funny because I would say in my Christian walk, you know, there's certain things people don't like to talk about. They don't like to talk about money or what God has to say about sexual purity and all those things. So it's not God's truth is to set us free. It's not to convict us. I can tell you that's one thing I've learned over time. Even when I get it wrong, man, I just take it to him. You know, God wants us to repent and just keep moving forward. And, you know, we need to keep our hands on the plow moving forward. And the financial, every dollar we make when we do commit it to the Lord, it is worship. Giving is worship. And this morning, really, I want to just share some scriptures that if I was new for the first time in church, and man, what does God have to say about money? There can be several, depending on which commentary you want to look at, can be several thousand different scriptures concerning our money. So I just wanted to pick a few this morning. I just wanted God to do the speaking. And I love this because when we honor God with our resources, I look for two, when I started, I didn't want three. I said, I want this simple. What would I want somebody maybe to say to me? And I wrote two simple points. And the first one is that God owns everything. That God owns everything. Psalm 24:1 in the New Living Translation says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. 1 Chronicles 29:11 through 14 in the New King James. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. He gives it, he sustains it, and he's over all of it. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Man, he wants to strengthen us. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name, but who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from your hand, and of your own we have given you. Isaiah 42:5, thus says the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread them from the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. Acts 17:24-25, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. The Bible says we can do nothing without him. That every day I get up, I thank the Lord for just waking me up another day that he has blessed me with. Man, there's a song, I've sent it to a few of you, it's called Jesus in My Coffee, but every morning, man, I look outside, and being a warm weather person, I still enjoy the change of seasons, man, but I think about the Bible, the light that I have, my home, man, the hands, my eyes. When I look outside in the morning, I look at the trees, and I look at my, God has given that to me, and I'm to be a good steward over that. And I told her I might share this last week. So Sister Linda, for years I didn't know Doc and Linda, and I grew up and born in the city here. And of course, I've been in the county, I guess, pushing 40 years, but I would ride by on Miles Avenue, and man, this is a testimony of stewardship. I would ride by a house, and that yard, and that truck, and that other vehicle, and that boat would be so meticulously maintained. Matter of fact, I can't say that for any, and I'm sure there are, but man, I would pass that house and say, man, I need to take care of my vehicle. And it was Doc and Linda, but what a testimony of good stewardships. And I know that demands time, but we are to be take care of what God has entrusted us with because it all comes from his hand. But this scripture here that I'm going to read next, he owns it all. But this man, our life and our breath and everything. But man, this when I saw this, I had to send Clarence the second part of it. Darnie said, is that all of it? So I thank my wife for, I didn't write the second part down. But Job 34:14-15. You know, seeking God, he put this in front of me, man. It melted my heart. He says in the New Living Translation, if God were to take back his spirit and withdraw his breath, all life would cease and humanity would turn again to dust. Man, isn't that amazing? Humanity would turn back to dust. Man, we have such an awesome God. God is our only source. You may have a job, but he is your source. Man, he has given us so richly for everything for us to enjoy, and yet we can wake up in the morning and walk out the door, and then we have to go to work and deal with people. And we can quickly forget the very people that he's put in our path and the very job that gets on our nerves and the very things that make us just want to shout is the very reason that we're there, and we forget that in 5 minutes. Isn't that amazing how quickly we can forget? Man, he's entrusted us wherever we're at and what we're doing. So that's all entrustment is basically letting the Lord, he's given us something and he wants us to be good stewards with it. If I give my wife $100, or say I give a friend $100 or $200 or $500, and I say, look, man, I want you to take this money and use it, but who's the owner of that money initially? I am. So, and I said, I'm going to put this on your Venmo account. And, you know, when you finish, you come back to me. I said, but you can go, you can buy some, feed the homeless, and you can get you something to eat, bring me back something. So when he comes back and a quarter of that money is left, who's that money belong to? It belongs to me. And that's the same way with God. Everything we get comes from his hand, and he's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So we have to be mindful that when we give to the Lord, man, we're just not given. We're given to the one, and this is going to be my second point. So first, God owns everything. And the second was, last Sunday when I was in church and we were there in worship, this he put this in my heart. What do you give somebody who has given you everything? Money? I mean, if I have 10 M&Ms, does I give one away? Does that really hurt me? Because I would need the M&M, but I'm just saying. But yeah, I mean, what do you give somebody who literally has given his life for every sin that you've ever committed and are going to commit? I mean, what do you give somebody that you owe everything to? I mean, money can't give us what he's given us. You could never give your way into the kingdom. It's a free gift. I like what the Bible says. It's not only a free gift, man, it's an undescribable gift. How can you describe that? So, man, it's just, man, how much does God love us? Isn't that amazing? So my second foundational point, the first one was God owns everything. I mean, when we view money that way, okay, he owns it, so how can I honor him with it? And the second thing is God is the ultimate giver. Our time, our love, and our resources. But there is no better way than we emulate God or act like our Lord and Savior is when we give. That's that, whether it's our time, our money, our resources, when we pray with somebody, you know, when we show up to encourage somebody like me up here, that's encouragement. I mean, I'm so grateful that the Bible, even like in Barnabas in the Bible, man, encouragement, man, sometimes it's more valuable than money. Telling somebody that they're going to be okay, or just, you know, calling them, or, you know, not only is the church divided, families are divided. I was recently, I talked to somebody where the brothers had been divided for years, and one of them finally decided to go to be with the other one on his deathbed. And one of the grandkids come in, the tears were flowing, the communication was there, and he asked him to leave. That family was so divided. Man, isn't that something? Jesus died to forgive us of our sins, and we can know that and yet hold that kind of hatred in our heart. That is of the devil. So, I mean, that's just amazing. He has given us everything. So there's no better way, once again, than when we're like our Savior, than when we're generous. Deuteronomy 8, I wanted to start with this one because of the verses I'm going to share. This one here was the first one that really come to my mind. And it's all because of being in the Word. I wouldn't have known this or where to look for, but there's certain scriptures I've heard over time, and I know what I'm looking for. But this one to hear touches me when it comes to giving to God. He says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God." Man, pray over your finances. Man, what he's entrusted us with, remember him first. He's not telling you that you got to give him 10%. Do I think there's a benefit for that in tithing and offering? Absolutely. But that's not what he's asking. He says, remember me. You know, I've known people who have literally canned goods and give them as an offering. Well, that's as good as putting money in that. I mean, and not making light of it, does take money to operate the church. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get your wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. We are to seek him first. It all, he gives us the ability to go to work every day. There's nothing else could be. We are to be a blessing and take that responsibility, and we're going to fail, and that's what his grace is for. You can't put a dollar amount on his loving grace and his mercy, his kindness, his goodness to us when we do fall. Man, thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. But this I say, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. He doesn't say give 20% or 10% or 2%, as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We give not out of a debt that we owe. He paid our debt, but we give to sow seeds. That's what we give for. We give that we're putting money in this offering here to be a blessing to God's heart, to lead people to his kingdom. Man, and what a powerful testimony. One day in heaven, we'll get to meet those people. We'll have an eternity of meeting the people we lead to the Lord. You know, and God does want us to enjoy our money. And several weeks ago, my truck was at the end of its life. And as I got rid of that truck that day, I'm going to be honest, man, I had tears in my eyes because I'm grateful for the home God has blessed me with. And I'm grateful for transportation. And I did find something that was 5 years old. But even the fact of, I had prayed over that truck. I had maintained it meticulously, but it was at the end of its life. And that'll happen to us as well. But God knew my heart. I wasn't looking for anything, but he did put something in my path that I think my brother here would testify as a good vehicle. I'm grateful for that. But it come from his hand. But like I say, I sow seeds because not because I owe God anything other than a reverent fear and love for him, but I want to be a blessing to his kingdom and to others. Proverbs 11:25, New King James, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Maybe I do need a sip of water. That would help. A cup of cold water in Jesus' name. And a good Samaritan. God looks at our heart as our motive, and I think I said this earlier. We can't love God and not give. It's just because we're designed after him, and that's our DNA. So we want to be like our Savior and our Father in heaven. So Proverbs 3:9-10, honor the Lord with your possessions. I mentioned Doc and Linda, and that's just taking care of what he's entrusted to us. And with all the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, your vats will overflow with new wine. And I do, for me, and I think it's important because testimonies are important. I do go up beyond what I feel like God calls, but I don't do it because, man, God has given me so much. He should have taken me out as a young man as drinking and driving and doing stupid stuff. He didn't. He's been merciful to me. And there's no amount of money I could give him. And I like to give, Darlene and I are always prepared. If we go somewhere, maybe we give somebody some money or we give a bigger, when you tip somebody. Because I want it to stand out, not because I want any, because I don't want anybody to know what I give. It's not important. But he says we give and we don't want one hand to know what the other one's doing, so to speak. So we don't give with any purpose other than blessing God's kingdom. And I like to be a blessing wherever I go. So I'm going to lose everything here anyway. So I want to be a blessing to my kids and my grandkids. He's called us to do that. But I want to be a blessing to those people when we go out into communities. And, sometimes, you may come up on a homeless person on the street. And God will let you know. But I can tell you this. When God put this so strongly in my heart just now. The enemy would never win. I don't care. When you give something with a pure heart, it's not about what they do with it, but Satan would never want you to give a dollar to them. Not one penny. He steals. He doesn't want you to give anything. So when you do something like that, that's just not a person on the street. That's God's child. And that $1 or that $2 or that 50 cent or even that cup of cold water that you give in his name can be the very thing that's going to lead them to the kingdom of God. Your goodness and your love for them will lead them. 1 Timothy 6:17-19. Teach those who are rich. And let me just say, it's not a sin to be rich. There's plenty of rich people in the Bible. When I hear people say that, that's wrong. That's not accurate. That's not what the book says. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up treasure as a good foundation for the future so they may experience true life. We get to clothe people, feed people. And I know many of us have been to Nicaragua. I know it stood out to me when we got over there how rich we are in this nation. And God's been merciful to us. When you get over there, I know so many of us have been on those trips. When I hear people complain in this nation, I'll tell you this right now. We are to take care of the widows and orphans, and we are to help those in need. God calls us to work. And in the New Testament, he even says, if you're not willing to work, maybe that guy shouldn't eat. God calls us to work. So that's not debatable. And I just lost my train of thought. But no, we're Nicaragua. Plenty of times over there we ate beans and rice. It's a staple for them. If you make $35,000 or more in this nation, you are in the 4% richest people in the world. That's in the world. God has blessed you. And one thing that stood out to me when I gave my life to the Lord, and I haven't been a good enough husband, father, grandfather, man, I've fallen way short. But God's grace is always there. One thing I know is this. God honors us when we have a pure heart before him. But I've complained at times myself. 35,000, you're in the 4% richest people in the world, and yet we have people making, and I'm in retail, and I have been, many of y'all know my background, and this is not a put down, but perspective sometimes. I literally deal with people that drive $100,000 vehicles and they complain about the price of a steak. And the perspective on that is, several years ago, a friend of mine, he went to Wendy's or whatever and got the triple and the fries and all that kind of stuff. I don't eat that, just to let you know. But, just is so funny. So he spent like $14 or $15. And he said, man, he says, that steak, he said, man, it's expensive. So I picked up a steak, which was $12. And I walked around the corner and I grabbed a baked potato. And I said, now you got your hamburger with that manufactured bread that'll hold up forever. You got some greasy fries, and we paid the same thing. I got a steak and baked potato. So perspective, you know, perspective is, compare that. So I can eat a good meal. I mean, my meal, in my opinion, was much better than his. You may disagree, but I think it's perspective sometimes, man. We're blessed, and we will give an account. You know, I think about even right now the war's going on. How many people in Iran, China, North Korea, all of these countries where the underground church is begging for God's help, begging. And part of us giving in the offering, supporting our missionaries, is a big part of that gospel being shared. You know, for God so loved the world, he gave. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. I'm going to close up, Brother Schmitty, if you want to get prepared for communion. When we manage God's resources, you know, when we give him our time, we're going to love him more, and we're going to want to share our resources. But God just wants us to give with a pure heart. In the Bible, the widow who gave the little bit in the offering, you know, the reason it stood out to me, because people can bring money that have money, but it's not a sacrifice to them. And matter of fact, I told Wednesday night, Sister Michelle and Carmel and the people that are supporting system back there, Clarence and Rick. But man, worship sets the tone in anything that we do. You know, a grateful and thankful heart. And you may not have much right now, but let me just tell you this. There's a lot of people, and it always stood out to me when I was in Times Square Church 5 or 6 years ago with Rocky. We were at a thing, and the pastor got up there and said, you can play softly, Carmel, if you wouldn't mind. And it stands out to me. He said, you see me up here on the big platform, thousands of people. He said that you got the people in the little churches that are getting shot at. They're feeding the homeless. He said, remember in the kingdom of God, that person scrubbing the bathroom floor maybe, that's praying and worshiping. People that are giving their all and have marginal. But in the kingdom of God, he warns those that are first now are going to be last. So heart today, church, today's a new day. Anything we've done in the past, we're forgiven for. Maybe trying to hold on to something that we're going to lose anyway. I got plenty of vehicles in the junkyard that are rusted. What we do for this kingdom will last forever. It will not rust. It cannot be stolen. It's a true treasure. And one day, you'll say, well, I'm going to close with this scripture, Brother Schmitty, if you want to come up. Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or he is free. So Father, right now, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you meet our needs. Lord, and that's, Lord, money is nothing to you, Lord. It's our heart. Lord, you died for us. Lord, you love us. You want to provide for us and meet our needs. And Lord, you've done that through the cross. So Lord, this morning, whether somebody has fallen short, Lord, I did for many years, but I can honestly say, Lord, you've restored so much more. Lord, may you freely, Lord, just gently touch their heart and let them know, Lord, they may not even mindfully, Lord, did that, Lord, but Lord, this is a chance today, Lord. We're moving forward. We just want to commit everything and entrust everything to you, Lord. Father, it comes from you. You own it all. It all belongs to you, Lord, and we just thank you for what you have entrusted us with. Lord, and help us to be good stewards. We know the world has plenty of things that glitter and are fancy and that are new, Lord. But Father, what you give is life everlasting. And we thank you for that this morning, Lord. Thank you that, Lord, and I would even ask anything, Lord, that I say, the Lord, that wasn't from your word, Lord, I may quickly forgotten. Lord, I just want us to leave here this morning knowing, Lord, that, Lord, you love us, you provided for us, Lord, and Lord, you make all things right. And your timing, as our sister said, Michelle, our patience, Lord, waiting on you, Lord, because, Lord, you said we're two or three together. Lord, you're in the midst, Lord. And, Lord, we've asked today, Lord, for guidance and help. And, Lord, we're going to believe, Lord, that you will restore, Father, and that, Lord, not only will, Lord, our cupboards be full, so to speak, Lord, but, Father, that would be a greater blessing to the world, Lord, and the church. We want to shine brightly for you, Lord. And for part of doing that, Lord, is giving you our time and our resources. Lord, once again, thank you. We honor you and we give you all the praise. Now prepare our hearts as Brother Schmitty comes, Lord. I know you have a word for him, Lord. Father, a word that, Lord, that you've put in his heart, Lord. So we just want to receive that in the way you would want us to have it, Lord, in Jesus' name.